think clearly there's some concern in a number of quarters about some of the rhetoric and borderline hyperbole in the statement that accompanied the memo itself. Some of the comments that were made I don't think were very factual. But the substance of the memo itself, you couldn't argue with it. It raises questions and issues that have been on the table for several years. It's always worth reviewing and validating or not the current policies we have in place and practices we have in place. And because the memo leaves open the outcomes, I mean, it doesn't presume any outcomes. It doesn't make policy. It creates an opportunity for a different kind of dialogue. It did not say this is where we're going. It basically said let's look at where we are and determine how to do things better. So from that perspective, I had no objection. I think it actually was a good idea.
Some of the people that I was talking to and even government procurement people were a little bit surprised, A, by the timing of it, because there's not even an OFPP administration. In fact, there's not even a deputy director of management at OMB, and already putting something out there saying we're going to do procurement reform, but also a little concern about, and I thought your statement sort of alluded to that a little bit, that we're legislating around the problems, a couple of high profile, but sort of exceptions, rather than looking at, okay, how does government generally contract in the day-to-day way?
Well, I think that's what my comment was about. A little bit of concern about some of the rhetoric in the statement itself. And clearly, attention to contracting has been heightened over the last several years and is largely informed by facts and perceptions of what took place with regard to Iraq contracting and Katrina and so forth. But the broader point is, if this discussion is, as the president laid it out, and I was, as I said, I thought the memo itself, after you got past some couple of initial comments, the memo itself raised perfectly legitimate questions and seemed to open the door to a broad dialogue. If that broad dialogue takes place and it's really fact-based and has a broader perspective of federal acquisition, not just looking, as you said, not only at high-profile cases, but separating out how we buy weapon systems from how we buy services, separating out what we do in an emergency environment versus routine environment, and really looking at it from a strategic perspective, it could actually be a very healthy discussion.
So what would be the next steps? What would you hope, do you have any sense that they are actually going to involve industry in these discussions, or how does this work?
I don't think we know exactly how it's going to play out or what the process the White House or OMB or the Defense Department plans to have. I can't imagine they would do it without input from all stakeholders, and I think that
right.
was alluded to yesterday. So we fully intend and expect to be part of that process and that discussion, and I don't expect that we'll agree with everybody who's involved. But as I said, I've never been afraid of a healthy dialogue, as long as it's fact-based, as long as we stay away from presumptions and misconceptions and mythology, then it can be very healthy regardless of the outcome. So I think that that's something we would look forward to. As I was reading the president's statement yesterday, I noticed little things even in his statement where I think he was trying to be constructive, but in the actual memo itself, it talked about the decline of full and open competition. And
right.
I read that, and I thought, well, factually, that's correct. But there's actually been an increase in services, which is the majority of what the government buys, an increase in competition overall. And people go, well, that's counterintuitive. Well, the answer is full and open competition and competition are not synonymous terms. So everything we set aside for small business, everything we order and buy under multiple award contracts at the task order level may be very competitive, but it's not full and open, because full and open implies that anybody who's qualified can bid. So I think even, the nuance and the semantics need to be carefully constructed as we go into this discussion.
Which then explains the need for the discussion and the need for more collaboration and the ability to get together, much like the healthcare summit today, but for procurement reform and for contract reform and talking about how this works. Because without that insight and without that other side of it, it could wind up being not a very good thing.
Yeah, and I think that, the first step probably is to almost create a glossary, if you will, of terms, so we're talking the same language and we all understand sort of the language we're speaking and the objectives we're trying to achieve. So when we use terms like competition, or when we talk about cost type versus fixed price contracts, the Federal Acquisition Regulation already lays out different contract types and circumstances in which they're appropriate. And then actually in services, the use of cost-type contracts is declining, not increasing. So having some semantics and a clear understanding of the current state of play leads you into a much better dialogue going forward. And I think the opportunity is there to do that, and I give the White House credit for setting it up. And now the next step is to follow through at the substantive level.
And there's also a lot of concern because and right now all the stimulus money flowing through agencies, and I was talking to several folks yesterday about they have all this money coming at them, plus all this amount of oversight that they're going to be getting throughout this process. And almost there's a little bit of a concern within sub-agencies that contracting personnel are going to sort of be so concerned about making mistakes that they'll sort of be like the turtle that sort of disappears into its shell where it's safe, for no other reason than better to not make a mistake than to get it blasted all over the place.
Well, I think actually, Chris, it's actually more than a little concern. I think people I talk to in government and in industry, there's a lot of concern that the current environment, the last few years, has created a culture of some fear among the acquisition workforce in government that don't feel terribly empowered or supported, and therefore not likely to be very innovative because of the fear of making mistakes. I think the other thing, and I may have a piece coming out on this next day or so, but I think you've hit on a very critical issue with regard to the stimulus, which is that we have to define what the outcome is. I mean, clearly the goal of the stimulus is to stimulate the economy. And so on one level, a measure is the money getting spent and are jobs being created. But 18 months or 2 years from now, we will have hearings to see, did we get really good outcomes? Did we get the right price? And a very legitimate discussion about other kinds of outcomes. Yet much of the messaging right now is around, spend the money fast and tell us where it went. And I think that it's important that we balance that out.
Yeah, very fast, too.
Performance is actually long-term as important to this whole picture. And so you're right. The timing is tough, and there is no OFPP administrator. A lot of the administration's not in place yet because we're only 40 days in, 45 days in.
Right, absolutely.
It is what it is, so we've got to go deal with it and do it right.
And one of the other concerns that I've heard is that there was no discussion about the need for both additional contracting personnel, which almost everyone acknowledges that the government doesn't have enough good qualified contracting officials, and for training those people so they all can be on the same page.
Well, the stimulus bill has, for some agencies, some ill-defined amount of money for added personnel resources or whatever they think they need. I think that the key here is that we're not just talking about contracting people. We're talking about needing engineers and systems engineers and program and project managers and cost and pricing specialists. There's a whole set of skills around acquisition that are in short supply, not only in the government, but in often very competitive marketplace for people, even with the economic downturn. And so there's that with the stimulus. I think that the president made it very clear yesterday with regard to longer-term acquisition challenges that he recognizes that that is probably the single biggest issue that we face. And that gets back again to if we have a workforce that doesn't feel empowered, that doesn't feel resourced or supported, why would people come into that workforce?
Right.
You actually want to create some excitement and energy around that. So a lot of challenges on the table.
Does it need to be moving as fast as he hopes it to move?
The stimulus or the contracting reforms?
Yeah, the contracting reforms.
Well, he set a timetable for some initial reports and analyses. Remember, some of this is required by the Defense Authorization Bill that was passed in late 2008. Some of those reports, OMB is responsible or DOD is responsible to get to the Hill on inherently governmental functions and a few other things. So some of it they already had a timetable for. I think, you have a good point that without an administrator for federal procurement policy and without a deputy director for management, it makes it a little bit more challenging. We don't have all the chief acquisition officers, of course, in place in agencies, as those are also political positions. This is the deepest personnel transition we've seen in government because we had this tremendous increase in the number of political positions over the last 8 years.
Right.
So you've got a lot of senior-level people who used to be that knowledge bridge between administrations that are in political positions, and in many agencies, those positions are vacant and were vacated on January 20th. So there are some challenges with moving that quickly. But I think these are policy discussions that you can have if you get the right people together and really start thinking substantively and strategically.